Welcome to the Open House Podcast. Conversations exploring life, faith and hope with Stephen O'Doherty.
Around social media recently there's been a bit of talk urging people to protest about Australia giving foreign aid during times of drought when our farmers need help. Well, that's surely a pretty simplistic view of the issue and really misunderstands the situation on many levels. It does tap into strong feelings people have, though, about what causes and which issues and indeed the type or nationality of people we should be helping. We saw it with the rescue of the Thai soccer team in that cave in July. Thanks to massive media coverage, the world watched the unfolding drama. We all became passionately invested in the fate of the team. But at that time, some people pointed out that we became enraptured by those individuals and even by the stateless status of the few of them, but we weren't so worried about our young people back here. It seems you just can't take a trick. When you show compassion in one area, you're criticised for not being compassionate in another. Well, Xavier Simons is a philosopher and research associate at the Institute for Ethics and Society at the University of Notre Dame. He's a graduate student from the University of Oxford in practical ethics. Wow, that's an impressive qualification. So let's start by discussing that cave rescue in Thailand and then move out to other things in the drought. Xavier Simons, welcome to Open House.
Thanks very much. Thanks very much for having me.
You've noted that at the time there were lots of people saying, why are we worried about these boys in the cave when there are so many other children with problems in the world? Now, what was your response to that as a moral philosopher?
The Thai cave rescue had a lot to do with the natural empathy that we extend to individuals who we more or less kind of have a first-hand knowledge of in terms of their narrative, their life story.
So there's a proximity effect, is what you're saying.
Exactly. That's definitely the case. And that's the way we're wired as human beings. It's very important, I think, that there's an acknowledgement of this fundamental aspect of our humanity when we're trying to think about questions of where we should show particular concern and invest money, resources, general kind of compassion for others.
So the reason the boys in the cave became international figures, matter for concern around the world, was because it was such a compelling story and our media was able to tell it to us very well. And we could relate to it. We could all imagine ourselves in a similar situation because I suppose most of us have at some stage visited tourist caves. And so it was in front of us and it was in front of us every day. Is that the proximity effect in action?
It definitely is. I think that this, as you mentioned, it had all the elements of a particularly compelling story, if you will, a story that tends to grip a global community, because we've seen similar situations like this in the past. Mm. For example, the rescue of the 33 miners in Chile. There's a story of, on the one hand, risk and suspense, but also like the story of hope. That these are very, in the end, ordinary human beings, and in that sense, ordinary human beings like us, are in need, and we have an opportunity, if you will, or at least sort of the governments of our countries have an opportunity to help, to assist. Hmm. And that naturally kind of leads to not only, I suppose, like the assistance that's provided by the international community, but also the media attention and just the general kind of expressions of concern that you see on social media, in the media itself, and in the conversations that we have with each other.
Hmm. Now, during that week, I was encouraged by a particular person to run a story that sort of went along the lines of, well, we can send lots of Australian aid to help in this cave rescue, but we're cutting our foreign aid to other countries. And this person went on, and we're not worried about the children. We're not speaking about the children in detention on Nauru. Now, to be transparent, I declined to run that story. I didn't think it was a valid conclusion. And I thought it was just, quite frankly, as a journalist, I thought they were trying too hard to spin off a big story with an angle. It's an angle we're concerned about. We're always talking about the children in Nauru. But it wasn't the week for that conversation. How do you, as a moral philosopher, weigh that question, though?
That's a very good question. I think I share your sentiments in the end, but I do think it's an important question to explore. I think that the general allocation of aid that a lot of, and also just sort of concern in general, the concern that we extend to people, I think that there's very good moral reasons to say that we should.
Let's be clear. I don't disagree with that for a moment. Talking about aid, Australian aid. But to contrast it, to say we can't help there because we're not thinking about this, or somehow it takes away from this if we do that.
It's a false dichotomy, I think, in the end. There's a contrivance there, like, for the sake of perhaps drawing attention to an issue that is definitely important, I suppose, and perhaps should receive much more attention. But as you mentioned, it's not. I don't think it's the appropriate distinction to focus your argument on, this idea that our concern for these particular kind of events that occur in other countries, these rescue situations, that somehow is opposed to and undermines our concern for these broader kind of humanitarian issues of asylum seekers or climate change even, or the allocation of aid to famine-stricken nations, what have you.
Yes, that's very good. Our guest is Xavier Simmons. He's a moral philosopher, the research director at the Institute for Ethics and Society. It's one of the institutes of Notre Dame University here in Australia. Well, also on this program in the last 12 months to kind of show, this is what they call breaking the fourth wall in television terms. We also ran a story last year which was critical to my way of thinking in breaking down some of this proximity problem. And the story was about a ferry disaster in Kiribati. It was the same week that an Amtrak accident happened in the United States. There was a ferry disaster in Kiribati. 80-something people, I think, lost their lives, just from memory. I found it a compelling story because Kiribati is this poor, poor, poor nation. The kids were going to school. They go to school by ferry. The ferry ride is several days, by the way, through treacherous seas. They go to school on the main island, coming from their own islands. And these kinds of ferry disasters happen more frequently than one would know if all you did was absorb the evening television news in Australia. That's another version of the proximity effect, Xavier. Once upon a time, working in a commercial newsroom, one of my colleagues kind of said, well, this is the racially adjusted scale of importance. So an Amtrak accident gets lots of attention, and it's not saying that it's not an important story. I think a couple died, some were injured. But there's no attention given to this other story of great tragedy, which turns out is kind of closer to us in geographic terms, but tells a different story. The media attention given to one is not equal to the media attention given to another. What do you make of all that?
It's once again a really good question. I think there's an important sort of dynamic at work in what the media reports, and of course that's got to do partly with who Australia is closely linked to in terms of economics, culture, and also just in terms of the fact that I suppose there's a lot of Australians who have a lot to do with the US, and a lot of Americans have a lot to do with Australia. So I can understand in one sense the dynamics of the media cycle, but at the same time there is definitely a need to question the sort of value that it seems we can sometimes place on lives in countries which perhaps are developing, or at least just not as closely linked to Australia as others. We do need to, as individuals with a kind of genuine humanitarian concern, to acknowledge and try and be aware of what's happening.
Yes, and as I've dwelled on it a lot over the past 12 months, I initially thought, oh, this is just an example of you know, it's easy to get pictures from America, so we run the American picture. I think it's more than that, though. I don't want to be harsh about my colleagues in other parts of the media. I think it's because you can imagine yourself being in, I think it was Seattle, on an Amtrak train. That's like you can imagine yourself going to your local tourist cave and getting lost. You probably can't. Most people are. It's remote from their experience of traveling on an ocean ferry for several days just to go to the main island. That's so there's a remoteness thing. Now, here's my question. Do you think as Christians we have a responsibility to have a bigger view of our neighbourhood? I mean, clearly the Good Samaritan comes to mind, but is it our role to inform ourselves about others?
I do think that's the case, yes. I think that's that is part of the Good Samaritan imperative, if you will, or the message of something like that parable, that we should make an effort to at least educate ourselves and where possible to try and broaden our circle of concern so that it's not only confined to our local community, our nation, or sort of our region. But rather that it's sort of cosmopolitan in that sense, that it takes into account the well-being of humanity, the good of humanity, and that includes its humanity's most disadvantaged members. That's a global view of a Good Samaritan narrative, I suppose.
That's lovely.
There are fortunately media outlets that do tend to have this sort of general reporting because they focus on specific issues in Africa. In Southeast Asia and so forth. So with the advent of online media and so forth, it's not particularly difficult, I think, to educate oneself about all that's happening.
You're absolutely right. And as our media shrink and the proposed merger of two of the
That's
major,
right.
you know, it just shows us how real that is. And it's a commercial reality. Again, not to be critical, it's a thing. There it is. There's this other thing, though, which is to say that we've never had more access to information at any time in the world's history than we have right now in our pocket. And maybe as Christians we have an obligation. Certainly, I think our role as Christian media is to be that voice, is to speak for those, to speak up in places with stories that you won't hear elsewhere. Now, we've spoken about the boys in the cave. We've talked about, you know, a bit of media philosophy and so on. But I want to ask you now about the drought, because what we've seen this week is some pushback, actually, in rural communities saying, well, hang on a minute, the drought didn't just happen when the Prime Minister came out and hugged a tearful worker. The drought's been going on for years. And can you understand that there would be some who are a little cynical about the way, well, once again, the media, some media are really driving this like they've just discovered it?
I can definitely understand that. I mean, to be perfectly honest, for me, I heard about, I was aware generally about the drought, but in terms of the first actual kind of focused news article that I came across on the drought, that was actually a BBC radio segment. So
Ooh.
Ironically, it was a foreign news service that picked up the issue first, or at least.
And our national broadcaster the other day, I was listening, they were running an Al Jazeera report about country New South Wales.
Exactly. So it's sort of cross-pollination at a global level. But there's definitely something to be said for the sensationalism of the media, if you will. And that's a vice, I think, of reporting. It's partly reflective, I think, of, unfortunately, an aspect of our human condition, that we only really get concerned about things when they're really, really bad, or something, some particular kind of story, which is very much kind of like cuts to the heart of an issue arises. So there's definitely an issue, I suppose, there with the reporting of it. But nevertheless, I think that the fact that, for example, New South Wales was declared to be 100% in drought this week, and that the federal government has finally come to the party and announced, modest, but sort of nevertheless sort of significant grants for drought-affected families. is sort of some sort of an explanation for why there's now kind of a more or less a continuous.
Yeah, so it's there's a what journalists would call a peg or a news angle there, and exactly. Maybe that turns on our compassion. So, I mean, we started by talking about the proximity effect, and what is in front of us does concern us. We are
right.
A bit like the magpie that gets obsessed by the blue thing or whatever.
In the end, there's probably an evolutionary, some sort of evolutionary similarity there. Who knows?
There may be, but to go to the biblical, it would be wrong, wouldn't it, to say that because you care about this, you can't care about that, or because you give resources to this, there are not enough resources for that. We can't limit God's compassion, can we?
That's a very good question, a very general question. I think that the way in which the distinction between the two issues, say for example, the relief provided for drought-stricken families and foreign aid, on the other hand,
yes,
the way that that's sort of set up, I think, is tendentious. There's an attempt there to suggest that perhaps that foreign aid as such is something that we shouldn't be as concerned about,
yes,
or foreign aid, for example, is necessarily going to be abused and misused in the countries where we're allocating it to, and therefore that we should just kind of stick to national issues in our concern to to help others. But I from a biblical perspective, I suppose that in the end, it's part of the providence of God that sometimes we are in a situation where we have the knowledge that something is an issue, and also the ability to help. And in a sense, that we shouldn't see that as something that's just a pure kind of product of chance. Mm. There's a sense in which there is a time, I suppose, like a time to take particular issues particularly seriously when they do kind of are at sort of most sort of vividly presented to us. And and sometimes that's in the end, that's probably like something providential, if you will, or part of the plan of God, I suppose, that we at these particular times when these issues arise, that we help then and there. The other thing I'd add in the end is that, as the politicians have been saying, there's no need to, like, say we need to cut foreign aid to increase the spending on farmers. In the end, they're two separate aspects of the federal budget. So
yes.
I think that's really a non-starter as an argument.
Oh, I'm glad to hear you say that. I find it quite offensive, that argument. Look, Xavier, it's been terrific. Thank you for this conversation. I hope we can have you back.
No worries. It'd be a pleasure.
It's Xavier Simmons. We will have him back from Notre Dame's Ethics Centre, and a graduate of the Centre for Practical Ethics at the University of Oxford, no less. A really fascinating discussion. I hope you enjoyed that discussion about the relative importance we give things. And let's not start introducing. Let's not limit the generosity of God. God's been generous to us. I think we've got to be generous to everybody around us, haven't we? And let's also find out who our neighbours are. That great question. One of the greatest questions ever. Who is my neighbour? Well, it's that guy there who needs your help.
Discover more Open House podcasts at openhousecommunity.com.au.